In that little bit. Tess, good to see you and your beautiful wife, Jessica. I said, can I call you Jessica or Jess? She said, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. I said, well, I'm going to call you Jesse then. But it's glad to have y'all here today, too, and joining us and all the other visitors in the house today, too. It's beautiful, beautiful. That includes me, too. Y'all got to still come back one more week, okay? Everybody gets an off day, right? So that includes me, too. Listen, I want to share with you this morning, So if you haven't been here before, if you're new to our church, Pastor Mays, who founded this church and started this church, one of the things he always said to me, and it's still to me, he said, listen, we don't study for a message. We study because we want knowledge of God and we grow closer to him in this, but that's not what we pray for a message that God has to give to somebody. So let me tell you, that's pretty frustrating as a pastor. Because sometimes, man, I'd like to have a calendar laid out and say, okay, the second Tuesday of 2026, here's what we're going to preach on. And I would really like to have that. I'm going to be honest with you. That kind of make my life a whole lot easier. But I'm not about being easy. I'm about being faithful. And so all this week, I'm praying, just like every week. Lord, God, please let me know something. Please give it to me before Sunday morning. Please, God. So anyway, so I still didn't know until I met Ted and his wife here what exactly we need to preach on today. And I thought to myself, you know what? There are opportunities for us everywhere. Amen. And so today, the title of the message for today, I would call it Be the One. There are divine encounters all around us. Whether you know it or not, they're there. And today we're going to look at a story in the Bible that talks about a divine encounter, as a matter of fact. And I hope that we could take away out of it how we can grow in this. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to open up. Now, we're going to read here a little bit. Y'all okay with reading along? If you got your Bibles, you can open up. If not, we got this nifty-difty little screen up here that's got the verses on it. Now, y'all excuse me, I'm getting my glory glasses out here now. My spiritual spectacles, whatever you want to call them here, so I can be able to see. But we're going to go into Luke 10, Luke chapter 10. And it's a story that most of us, I think, have heard before, but that's okay because we always, you know, it's a living word. It's always given us fresh revelation. And today we're going to look at this story here, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And here's what the Bible says. And behold, a certain lawyer. Now, all y'all say certain. Say certain. Yeah, one more time. There we go. See, I want you guys to take note of that. Put that word and put it in your back pocket just for a few minutes here, okay? We're going to come back to that in a minute. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Now, he's talking about Jesus, tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, first off, I'm going to stop right there. You know, that's the most important question that can ever be asked. All the other questions in the Bible are really trivial if you don't have the answer to this question. The lawyer, at first here, when I read it the very first time, I said, well, this guy's looking to be saved. He wants to know what's going on. This lawyer is really trying to find out some good information, but we're going to find out here that that's really not what he was all about. And he said to him, this is Jesus replying back, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And, of course, the lawyer knows what he's doing, right? He's pretty educated, far more educated than I would be. He knows things. So he answers and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, Jesus says, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Now, listen, that could have been the end of the story right there. That could have been it, right? But the lawyer shows his heart here. Here's what he does. Because most of us, if we were talking to Jesus today, and Jesus told you to do something, would you keep going, or would you say, yes, sir? Yes, sir. Absolutely. So this tells me that the lawyer wasn't just trying to find out a way to get to heaven, have eternal life. What he was really trying to do was trip Jesus up and make him look like a fool. I'm going to tell you right now, the world looks foolish because they're trying to make him look like a fool. Cut on news for about 5 minutes, man. I ain't never seen so much junk and crap in all my life as what's being put over that television set, and it's all because they're trying to make Jesus look like a fool. Amen. They're wrong. Amen. I'm on the winning side of things. Yeah. You know what happens? I can listen to that and I can kind of chuckle. See, I don't know about y'all, but when the stock market goes down, it ain't got nothing to do with my prosperity. Amen. Nothing. Matter of fact, we had the best years of our life during COVID. Am I telling the truth, honey? I tell you what, everybody looking around, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And I was singing, look what the Lord has done. My bills were paid. My checking account was bigger than it had ever been before. And you know what? I didn't store it up in the stock house. We said, do you need something? We'll help you out. And through that, people got led to Christ. And this little church, when they tried to shut us down, we wouldn't be shut down. I say all that to tell you that when the world tries to make you look like a fool, don't worry about it. God's got your back. You know what we did? We came out of it as a church better than we went into it. Matter of fact, we put on a pay-to-church campaign during COVID, and we raised enough that we paid the church off in less than 24 months. I heard Robert say it this morning. And listen, I'm not boasting on us. I'm boasting on God. What do the appraisers come out here, and they look at this property. It's worth millions of dollars, what you see right here. It ain't because... Yeah, you know, it ain't because we took a government loan to pay nothing. It's that we taught in this church that there is such a thing called sowing and reaping. And it's a biblical law. This is why I could say you could be lost and undone, but be charitable and still be successful in things. It is a law. This is the way things work. And through that, do you know what happens? Not only did our church get blessed, but our people got blessed at the same time. God is for you, folks. When somebody wants to come up and try to make a fool of you or what you believe in, I want you to know something. Don't you sweat it. Don't you worry about it. And Jesus here. Matter of fact, I love the fact that Jesus pointed the man back to Scripture. That's where he went back to first. He said, well, what does the good book say? When people want to challenge me, that's what I say. What's the good book say? Oh, you don't know? Well, why don't you go read it a little bit and then come back and talk to me some? Don't ask me to educate you. Let the Word of God educate you. Then we could come back and we could discuss this some more. People don't want to do that. They don't want to put in the effort. They don't want to put in the work for it. So here's what Jesus says to him. He replies back. He says, the man said, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He's hoping to catch him up in something right here. Then Jesus answered and said, and it's one of the greatest parables in the Bible for the New Testament Christian. Here's what it said. Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Everybody say compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Amen. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Let's bow our heads. Lord, just for the next period of time, Holy Ghost, have your way in the service today. Let our minds be open. Let our hearts be receptive to it. And let us walk out of here changed, God, different than we walked in today. Let the power be in your authority, in your word, and in your presence. And we love you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. See, now, it's kind of interesting, I think, that when Jesus says a certain thing, I'm under the personal belief that Jesus is referring something that really happened. I think these were real people. Now, I know other translations don't say that, but the King James has it as certain, New King James, Amplified. It's a really good word-for-word translation. So I believe when Jesus says this, I believe that he's recounting something that actually really took place. That's my personal belief. But the reason why I say it's so important that we understand that is because God is not a God of mishaps. He's not a God of coincidences. Everything God does is in order, and I've called him the great maestro. He's the maestro of the orchestra, and the orchestra is the world and the universe and all that's in it, and God is up there, and he's just got perfect timing because he knows everything and in every place, and so he calls in the violins, and then he calls in the trumpets and everything, and you know what happens when God is up front and God is doing it? It is a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful sound that's made. But put me up there. Three blind mice is going to sound awfully good to y'all after I'm done. I can't do all that. I don't know all things. I don't know all this, but God knows all of it. And so when he says that a certain thing is going to happen, you could be certain that it's going to happen. He talks about two people that come by the man who's been beaten on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Do you understand? Jerusalem was known as the place, it's the holy place. Remember, Jericho or where the walls fell. This road is known as the road of blood. And if you were to go there today and ask about the road, they would tell you that's the road of blood. This road was known for having robberies and killings on it. It was well known to the people there that traveled this road to be cautious and wary. But the first one that comes up to him, I find this so intriguing to me, is a priest. Modern day pastor. And he walks up, and he don't even get close enough to see what's going on. He just could see somebody over there looking pretty bad, and he goes on the other side of the road and walks on by, and then I have no doubts when he got past, went back over to the right side of the road again. That ought to be scary. I've told you before, don't follow a preacher. Follow God. Your faith ought to be in God and God alone, not in the house you worship in or the man who delivers the word to you. Because I guarantee there were people there who thought that priest was a pretty good guy. I guarantee there were people there that showed up at the synagogue listening to this preach read out the scrolls and thought, man, this man is a man of God right here. Yeah, I knew I'd get a holy hush. What happened when the rubber met the road? He found fifth gear and cruised on by. Don't follow a priest who's going to cruise on by. See, there are reasons why some people stop and some people keep going. It was no chance that that man was there at that time. See, God doesn't put bad things on us. I need to make sure, I want to clarify this. I've heard this said a lot, and it's bad teaching, bad theology. God is not punishing you. What you're going through is not the wrath of God upon you. Matter of fact, if you are a born-again believer, you're justified by faith. But Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Things are going to happen. Things are going to not always be all roses, and you're going to fall on hard times, and things are going to, people are going to come against you. If you don't know it, it's going to come, I'm telling you, and sometimes it comes from the people that are closest. It's hard to stab somebody in the back from across the room, ain't it? Oh, man, that was the Holy Ghost right there. That's right. It's the people closest to you that can put that knife in your back. In this world, you're going to have things that are going to come up against you, but I want you to know something, that God knows what you're going through when you're going through it. God knew that that man was there on that side of that road. He knew that he had been beat up and robbed and left for half dead. And God also knew that I got people who are going to come by there who are going to have the opportunity to be the one, but instead they chose to do something else other than what they were supposed to do. When I tell you to be the one, I'm telling you, be the one. That priest came on by, walked to the other side, got out the way, and then here comes along the Levite, the worker of the temple. The Levite was there too. Now, these are two godly people, right? They would be like you walk into the church, and you got the pastor, and you got the head elder there, the head usher there. And these two people. So we cruising down the road, and I see somebody all bloodied up. And I do one of these. Oh, what time is it? Oh, I walk on around, and then here comes Jerry. I'm going to pick on Jerry for a minute. The Bible said Jerry came up. He just didn't go on the other side of the road. Jerry actually checked it out. Jerry came on up to him and said, man, you look kind of rough there. I ain't messing with that. Let me get on over here. We got people in the church doing that today. We got people in the church here seeing people beaten and battered up. Going over and checking on them. You okay? Some superficial little question like that. And then when they say, no, I need help, they say, well, God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. And they're running on down the road. But see, what you don't know is God appointed you to be there at that time for that person. See, God has given you an opportunity to do something wonderful for that person and for his kingdom. This is why I'm going to tell you, I think people just go on by. Number one, I think they're too scared. See, I told you that road was called the road of blood. I think people are too scared to stop sometimes because they're afraid it's going to happen to them too. I'm getting warm. I'm telling you what, it's going to be a good day. Jacket's coming off. Those of y'all don't know, that means something now, I'm telling you. Whew. I was looking for a handkerchief. I ain't got one up here. Where's Bob at? There's Bob. Look at this. I know he always got one for me. Bob, you're a true blessing, brother. Thank you for being the one. Thank you, brother. I believe people are too scared. They're worried about what happened to them can happen to me, and so they don't want to mess with that because they're afraid that if I get over there to help them out, or if I stay here too long, maybe I'll get caught back up into things that wouldn't be good for me. I'm going to tell you, as a recovering addict, I've had this fear before. I've had this fear that if I stop and I help them, I'm going to get sucked back into them. But do you understand what the Bible said the man was that came by? He was a priest. Listen, you have the same Spirit of God inside of you that raised Jesus out of the grave. You know what that means? I ain't scared of nothing. I don't like heights. But I ain't scared of no man. I ain't scared of somebody calling me names. Join the club. I ain't scared of somebody talking bad about me. You won't be the first, you won't be the last. I ain't scared of somebody trying to run my reputation in the grave. I don't care about my reputation, I care about my character. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you do to me, as long as Jesus is on my side, there ain't nothing that I can't do in the authority in the name of Jesus. So here's what I want to tell all those Christians, stop being scared to go help the one that needs the need. Get it out. If we'll get it out, you know what I love about these women from the Hope Center? See, when you're fresh out of hell, you know how hot it is. And so all of a sudden they go, man, I don't want nobody burning up in there. Let me go ahead and pull these people up out of here. When you get people that are like that, well, I'm telling you, God will move. But somehow we become the frozen chosen. Somehow our fire starts to dwindle down. Maybe the rain comes down and wets our wood a little bit. But I want you to know God wants your wood to be dry and on fire. Amen. So you know what I got to do? I don't hang around with the frozen chosen. I hang around a fire source. What's going to dry you out? we get around some like-minded people and your heat comes on and I get all cozy and I dry out and I start to get on fire and I come over here to George and George starts to get on fire. He starts to get lit up and George comes on over to Miss Peggy and Miss Peggy's always on fire for Jesus. And then we get brighter and brighter and brighter, and then before you know it, we see a move of God where a little church that used to have 50 in it now have 120 in it. Christians don't need to be afraid. We got to stop being scared to go and help those that need the help. The second reason I believe is that people don't stop is because they're too busy. I have no doubts that that priest and that Levite had somewhere to go. I don't believe they were on some kind of Sunday stroll, just going down the road of blood, hoping that, you know, there would just be a nice Sunday afternoon walk. I know they had a place to get to. And I believe that people like us, in a world like that we live in now, that wants you to be so busy and so distracted, you know, we don't even have time to rest in the Lord anymore. Man, we are constantly running. Constantly running. And I'm going to be honest with you, ministry can be the worst place for it. I make deliberate efforts. Now, I don't always score 100%, do I, honey? My wife's shaking her head back there. But I try to make a concerted effort, a conscious effort, that I set a day aside as my Sabbath day. That I rest in Him in that day. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't take, maybe go to the grocery store. What'd you say? What? Sometimes I do play golf. I'm not very good, but I do like to go play. God gives me all the help I need just to make it through them 18 holes, praise the Lord. One day they're going to record it like they wanted to record the squirrel in the church that time and play it up on the screen. I'll tell you that story next week. Y'all better come back next week. You'll learn about the squirrel in the church. I'll tell you that one next week. But we get too busy. The world is busy. Life is busy. You're going from point to point to point to point, and you're always on a timeline, and I got to get here by this time and this time and this time. So when you see somebody in need, you justify not stopping because you're too busy for it. And we say, God, you know I'd love to do that, but Lord, I've got this to do. So then you pray. You do this prayer. It's a cop-out prayer. God, please send somebody else to go help them. I'm just so busy, Lord, but please let somebody else. But I'm telling you right now, God sent you there in the first place. You don't need to be praying for something that God's already done. But you don't understand, I'll get fired. What? Who do you work for? Who do you work for? I'm telling you, it's the God of miracles that you're serving. Do you understand me? Take the extra 10 minutes to change the tire for the person. Take the extra 10 minutes to pray for somebody that needs to be prayed. I'm gonna tell you a story. Can I tell y'all a story? Y'all ready to go, ain't you? Tell y'all a story. Can I tell you the greatest thing that happened to me last? And listen, if y'all got to get up, I tell everybody to bring Nabiscos when they come here. Bring you some crackers. We need to set up a vending machine or something. I guess we can do that. But look, that's my girl right there. See? Bree's always on it. The last week, and I hope that when I tell this story, you understand I'm not bragging on myself. I'm only telling this for illustration to you today, okay? But the greatest thing that happened to me last week was I got to pray for a woman in a parking lot. The greatest thing, Ted, I love you and your wife here, but that was the greatest thing that I did last week that God let me be a part of. I'm in Cash Savers, and I'm checking out. I'm in the line there, and I've got just a few things, and there's this woman that's standing in front of me, and she's got this big brimmed hat on, almost like what you wear. Have y'all ever seen Roger out here cutting grass? Man, he's got this sombrero-looking thing on out there, and it's because Roger can't have the sun beating down on him because he whipped cancer's hind end 16 years ago. Yeah. You came to a church of miracles. Did y'all know that? So I'm standing there in that line. This woman's got this big brimmed hat on. She's checking out in front of me. And she's got this thing on her back, and it looks like one of those water pouches. You ever seen those little camel pack things? You drink water out of it? And I'm thinking, I wonder if she got, like, strawberry daiquiri or something in there. She's drinking. I was going to pray for her about that. And then I'm looking at it, and I realized this wasn't a water pack. It was a medical device she had on her back. And under that hat, she kind of had this bandana wrap on her head, and I saw these tubes going up into her head. So I assumed she had some kind of a brain tumor or cancer or something that was going on up in her head. And she's really nice, and she's got two buggies full of groceries that she's taken out. And I offer, I said, ma'am, can I help you with those? No, I'm good. And the cashier says, please allow us to get somebody to help you. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm independent. No, I need to be doing this. This is good for my muscles. No, I've got all this. She's a very independent woman. And so I thought, well, my goodness, well, she don't want to help from nobody then. Okay. So I check out behind her. I pay for my stuff, and I go out to my car, and I'm on this side of the aisle. You ever been to Cash Savers? You know, you got one car's going this way, and then car's going this way. And I'm loading up my car, and she's over here, and she's loading up the back of her minivan there. And she's got the hatch open. I've only got three or four bags, and I throw them in, and I'm about to get walking around my car to get in. And just like what happened with Ted, I just feel the Holy Spirit telling me. Now, this isn't some long, drawn-out conversation. This isn't me going, is that God? No. No, I'm walking over to my car door, and I feel like, you know, I need to go pray for that woman. And in that split second, here's the thoughts that rushed in my head. She didn't want help when she was in there. She's already got her medical devices onto her. She probably believes more medicine than she does miracles. I'm going to look like a fool if I go over there and pray for her. She tells me no. Or am I going to offend this woman at all? Those are the instant thoughts that fill my head. Just bang, 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 bang. And I said, I'm going to do it anyway. So I walk on over to her. She's over there, and she's putting her stuff. And I know y'all hearing the birds over there. They're talking to me about it here, too. You hear that? And I walk over to her, and I said, ma'am, are you a woman of faith? Because if she said no, I was going to present the gospel. If she said no, I was going to take that opportunity and tell her, Jesus loves you, and I know you're going through something, and so does he. And I was going to lay out the gospel to her and an offer for her to accept Jesus as her Savior. I said the worst thing that she could do is say no. When I asked her, I said, are you a woman of faith? She said, oh, yes, I am. I said, would it be okay if I pray for you? She had these big sunglasses on, and she starts, you hear it choking up in her voice. And she said, well, yes, that'd be wonderful. And so I laid my hand on her shoulder right there in the middle of the parking lot. Her trunk's still open, half the groceries in, half the groceries out. And we prayed right there. We prayed for God to heal her, to give her peace and strength during this, to give her wisdom and guidance and knowledge as she's battling these whatever infirmities are. And then we bound them in the name of Jesus over her. And we told them they had to leave the temple of God, which was her body. And I prayed for her with conviction, not because of my prayers, but because I know the one who answers the prayers. And when I was done, the woman, tears rolling down her cheeks, said, you don't know, but I needed that today. Now, I got back in my car, and I started crying, not because I prayed for her, but because God allowed me to be a useful vessel for his glory and for his kingdom. Now, I wasn't too busy. But I'm going to tell you, I've been busy a lot. I've been the one who has missed the opportunities because I was on my way to go do something. And when I now think about it, oh, that's what I'm praying to God. Lord, don't count me out. God, I'll do better. I'm going to say yes. I don't have to rely on somebody else. Lord, you don't have to rely on somebody else. God, let me have that opportunity again. And I want you to know something right now. My groceries didn't spoil. They got in the refrigerator. Everybody still got to eat on Wednesday night when they came in for CR. God will still take care of you. He will still make sure that you can do what you need to do. And the last reason I believe people don't stop. And this is going to ruffle some feathers. It's because we think we're too holy. See, that priest, when he came up there, see, in Jewish law, if they were to touch something that was dead, remember this, the verse said that he was left him half dead? Now, that priest looking from afar, if that man was dead, if he was to go over there and accidentally touch him, he would become unclean. Oh, I thank God for tattoos on people. Now, would I get them? No, I've got one, and that's it. But I'm telling you, I'm praising God for the people that got them. I'm praising God for the person that comes in that's half drunk, half high, searching for answers, that come into a church. Praise God, I want them close to me. They can sit right beside me. I got no problem rubbing elbows with somebody who the world would say ain't good enough. Or some priest would come up and say, I don't want to get my hands dirty. We've lost it as a church. We got too holy. We're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good anymore. But when we'll get a hold of it, that we're no better than anybody else, that we put our pants leg on one at a time just like they do, that Jesus Christ died for them just like he died for you and me, all of a sudden we'll understand their value ain't in your opinion, it's in who they are in Christ. And that Samaritan that came by lastly, he wasn't too scared, he wasn't too busy, he wasn't too holy, he had compassion on him. I'll tell you what he was Jesus Christ-like is what he was. When you've been saved by grace, when you've really been saved by grace, and you really understand who you were and who you are now, you're going to stop for everybody that needs something. See, today ain't like what it was then, though. I believe that most of the people in this sanctuary today, if they were to roll up on a car accident or roll up on something where somebody had been mugged and beaten and hurt, I would like to think that most people in this church would stop. First off, I think you would stop because it's just the right thing to do. But I also believe that we would stop because we are a church who wants to disciple people into being Christ-like. But I'm here to tell you, the robbery and the beatings and the half-dead ain't physical in our day and time. The Bible said the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What you don't see is on the outward appearance, they're okay, but on the inside, they've been beaten half dead. And we all looking on the outside, and I'm telling you that we need to be starting to look on the inside. When somebody comes up and tells you that they've fallen short and they've done this, you don't ask them, you know, well, the Bible says or this. What you ought to say is, what happened? I want to help you where it really counts. I want to get down to the root of the issue. I know that the devil has done beat you up and left you half dead, and I'm not going to pass on by you. I'm going to stop and I'm going to help you. I want to get you to God. I want to get you to Jesus, and I want you to have prosperity and health in your life. Now, that's what we ought to be as a church today. And I'm here to tell you, you're a certain. You don't even know it, but you're a certain person for a certain time. Can I say something to you? Stop praying to God to speak to you when he's already spoken. Some of us, well, I'll help if the Lord tells me to. I just read it to you. He said to love your neighbor. He's already told you to help. Stop asking for guidance and start reading the word and being obedient to it. The holy hush. I get it. It's harder than it looks sometimes because it's inconvenient. But can I ask you a question? How inconvenient was it for Jesus Christ to hang on the cross for you? How inconvenient was it for the divine creator? You understand the one that put the worlds in orbit, that created every blade of grass we have, that created you before you even formed in your mother's womb. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to come down to earth. I'm going to put aside all that divinity, all that God. I want to become a man, and I'm going to be suffering. Let me tell you, he got spit on, ridiculed, mocked, a crown of thorns put on his head, beaten with lashes almost to the point of death, nails driven into his hands, put up on a cross, hung there, and gave up his spirit for you and me. You want to talk about inconvenience? That's how much he loved you. Everybody stand with me this morning. See, today's a rainy day. I hear it. It's beautiful to me. There's a reason why you're here today, though. So you're a certain person in a certain place at a certain time. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I have to ask the most important question, the one that the lawyer started out with, and that was, what do you have to do to have eternal life? It's not difficult. It's not hard. The Bible says that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And if you'll cry out to him, that you shall be saved. And if there's someone here today that has not made that decision, it's the one question that you got to answer. And it's a certain time for it. If that's you here today and you say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. There's anybody.